today on Real Radio.
And you say, Jack, is there something against, you have something against rules and regulations? No, not at all. We must have them in a civilized society and in a church. But the moment you begin to attach salvation to it, you're in trouble.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called There's No Other Gospel, begins in part one in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. How can we who are sinful by nature come to God who is holy by nature? For our sins have separated us from God, and even now sin dominates our lives. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul writes of his burning passion that we're only justified by faith because of Christ's work on the cross. It's not by our own works that we're sanctified, but by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul referred to himself as the chief of sinners, but those who have been forgiven much, love much. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Paul preaches a liberating gospel, for legalism doesn't embrace the true gospel, but breeds self-righteousness and arrogance. And false liberty means to live however we choose, thinking there'll be no consequences. And now, continuing his lesson called There's No Other Gospel, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Paul, before God, was the chief of sinners. Every Christian knows that before God, they are the chief of sinners. But here's the deal. Because Jesus died for us, he has set us free from our sin, and now we are declared righteous in Jesus Christ. So here's the deal. We don't walk around going, oh man, I got so much. I'm a Christian now, but boy, am I filled with guilt. Oh man, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord, but boy, is it heavy. I'm a sinner. No, we run around. What did Jesus say? The person who has sinned the most loves the most. A converted life. Do we still sin? Rick, I know you still sin. We still sin. Do we want to? No. Do we wake up? Man, all right. I'm going to pull off some big sin today. The Christian doesn't think like that because we've been converted. Paul was converted. And he became the apostle to the Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. That's mostly us. And Paul's message is to liberate, but we got to know it. Before we dive into this, and don't panic, this is all introduction today. So you're going to, you know, where are we going? Chapters 1 to 10? We're going to read verse 1 here, okay? And we'll do really good if we get that done. It says there, Paul, verse 1, an apostle, look, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. That right there. Paul is now a messenger, angelos, one who is sent out. And his message is this, that God saves. But note what he says concerning the work of the Spirit of God. He says this, it is of God. He says in parentheses there, not from men. This is great. Now hang on to your seats. It means this, man has no authority to impart to another man the call of apostleship and salvation. I cannot say, you know what? Because I like you, you're saved. I can't say that. By the way, doesn't that break some of our hearts who we have loved ones? Don't you wish we could do that? Have you ever cried and wept for your brother or sister, or your mom or dad or whatever, to the point where you're so caught up into the travail for their soul that they might be saved, that if at some moment you would even exchange your salvation that they might be saved? Have you ever been there? You're praying for them so hard, you're so sick to your stomach, maybe you've been crying your guts out, and now you get a glimpse of what Paul and Moses both said, God, please take my place in eternity and put their life instead of mine. Lord, I'll go to hell for them. Just get them in, God, please. Moses prayed. Paul prayed. But there's no need for that. Jesus paid the price. But also, not only that, not from men. Salvation cannot come from man. Listen, nor is the work, the call of the ministry from man. You say, what? I mean, aren't you guys like a real church? Can't you ordain people? We can ordain people till the cows come home. In this community, that's a literal thing. You know what? Do you know what true ordination really, really means? Ordination really means that we recognize that God's hand's upon you and that He has ordained you into the ministry, so we agree, and then we write up a document so the state of California and the federal government will be happy. We are to discern if God's hand is on you. Is God working in your life? Do you have the calling upon your life to evangelize or to preach or to be a pastor teacher or whatever it is that would require ordaining, the laying on of hands? But see, the flesh wants to make it a big deal. That's why over the last 40 years, Calvary Chapel's been a real pain to a lot of denominations. Because you know what? They got these sweet guys, wonderful preachers, by the way. I don't get it. I feel kind of bad for them at times. These guys have worked their hearts out. They've gone to 4, 5, 6 years of school. They got their doctorate. They went through their program. They started a church. They got a doctorate of divinity. They've got all these various incredible credentials, and they can't get 5 people to come to their church. And the poor guy, you wonder, oh, man, somebody, please go to that guy's church. And then some nut gets saved at Calvary Chapel or whatever, you know. You got guys like Steve Mays, you know, I was just there preaching Thursday night. The church is exploding. And the last 2 years, they've gone from 1,800 people to over 6,000 adults. Yeah, that's what they're saying. Oy vey. What's going on? And then you read about his life, because his life is in the book. It's in the book Harvest, and you read and say, God can't use anybody like this. Mike McIntosh was so stoned on drugs, somebody put a bag over his head and fired. They said, we're going to kill you. While he was stoned on drugs, they shot a gun off next to his head. He thought the bullet on his drug trip went through his brain. He thought he was dead for 2 years in the mental hospital. He was in a nut house. And God says, my call is upon him. So Lord, are you sure? God's call. It's amazing. It's of God. Who can figure God out? Isn't it wonderful that our God is beyond past finding out? Amen. I find it interesting that every god or gods of the cults, they can explain their God perfectly. Did you know that? They have a perfect description of exactly who and what and exactly everything, and they know everything about them. You know, our God has given us enough to know, and it's going to take all of eternity to get to know the rest of them. The Bible says he's past finding out. That's great. But we have to come to him. And so Paul says, it's not from men, nor through man. What does he mean by that? It's not passed on through the genes. It's not Levi, Levitical. It's not passed on that way. It's not blue blood. Well, look, his grandfather was a pastor. His father was a pastor. So look, little Junior must be a pastor. That's not how it works. It's not human. The call for you to come to Christ is not human. God uses human instruments, but it's not human. It's divine. It's a work of the Lord himself. And then he goes on to tell us that it's through Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And you see that in your Bible, there's parentheses there. We would call it a parenthetical insert. Paul is saying, Paul, an apostle. And oh, here's the reason why and how. Are you with me? Because this letter was going to be distributed through a vast region of Turkey. Why? Jot this down. You may find it interesting. because of three major problems that will continually arise as we go through this great book. Number one, the error of legalism. The error of legalism, meaning this, that a person is saved, they believed, by doing what was the right thing to do. Now, doesn't it sound good? But you can't do it. But those who hold to that, even in light of the fact that they can't do it, will become legalistic. And legalistic will become demanding. It's called yoking. They'll yoke you to a great burden. And they'll demand of you certain performances. You will not smoke or chew or go with girls who do. That kind of a thing. If you do this, this, and this, you will be accepted. If you do this, this, or this, you will be rejected. Legalism. You say, no, that's a gross extreme. Yes, it is. However, legalism rears its ugly face in its most hideous manner in a religious suit. Paul, in all of his righteous achievements, was bound in legalism, and it breeds extreme self-righteousness and arrogance. It causes you to look down at people off of your nose. You look down at them. They can never, not only do you believe that they could never quite attain to where you're at, you make sure that they know that you're above them. It's called a Pharisee, and they're bound in legalism. They traffic in and around and amongst the church, and they have rules and regulations. And you say, Jack, is there something against, you have something against rules and regulations? No, not at all. We must have them in a civilized society and in a church. But the moment you begin to attach salvation to it, you're in trouble. Legalism. Number two, the error of false liberty. Boy, Paul is going to address that in this book. The error of false liberty. When you come to Christ, you're set free, and there is a liberty that nobody can quite explain. Didn't Jesus tell us that if we have the Son, we're free? It's true. And then, believe it or not, this is one that I believe is most prevalent today, is what is called the error of Galatianism, truly. Say, I never heard that before. Well, it's a theological term. The error of Galatianism is this, that Jesus died on the cross. Okay, I believe that. I receive Jesus. I'm saved by faith in Jesus. Now listen, because there's a lot of cults knocking on your door that believe this. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that. I accept him. And instead of embracing the true gospel, which is justification by faith in Christ alone, plus nothing, you know. You're justified by trusting in Christ. It's by faith. The moment you add something to that, Paul's going to show us in following chapters, you fall from grace. Well, wait a minute. The error of Galatianism was this, and boy, is it prevalent in modern day teaching. Come to Christ, the gift is free. Yes, salvation's free. You come, you just come forward, you accept Christ. Okay, now that you've accepted Christ, these are the things that you must do. Well, wait a minute, I thought you said I was saved. Yeah. You got saved. By the way, there's a very well-known cult that does exactly this. Yeah, you got saved, but now that you're saved, to keep yourself saved, this is what you do. Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear what I just said? Somebody respond. Did you hear what I just said? This is destroying people's faith today. There are people knocking on our doors saying, have you accepted Christ? Oh, yes, I'm born again. Oh, so are we. Oh, that's cool. I'm a Christian. Yeah, we are too. Oh, I read my Bible. Yeah, we read our Bible too. Oh, that's great. Now listen, here's what they'll say. But you need to come to our gathering. Why? If you just told me at my door that I'm just like you, then why do I need to go to your gathering? If you're trying to agree with me at my doorstep What tells me here logically is that if you agree to all the things that I'm saying, then either we have different definitions of the words, which is the case, or you're trying to get me away from the grace, the saving grace of God, into a works relationship with God. And that's exactly the case as well. Yeah, accept Christ, get saved, but this is how now you keep yourself saved. That's heresy. It is doctrines of demons. It is damnable. It is an offense to the cross of Christ. My friend, did Jesus Christ die on the cross for all your sins or some of them? All of them. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence. Who does it? He does it. It's the work of the Lord. How does he do it? The way he saves you, the Holy Spirit comes inside your life and he continues his work. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Do you think for a moment that you can get saved by just going through some ritualistic act or going through some form of church requirement and then just walk away from God? No, you come to him in a personal relationship. He comes inside you, and then he does the work. And you know it. And the people who want to argue about this, I find them to be very interesting people. Well, listen. We'll be studying about legalism and this Galatianism and what is and what are the Christian freedoms that we have. Paul will be one who argues to us the justification by faith in the first two chapters, and it's going to be exciting stuff. But it all begins with what he's saying here, that salvation comes through Jesus Christ and God the Father, and the qualifying statement is because the Father has raised Jesus from the dead. You guys, you can underline it until you put a hole right through your page there. It's through Christ, through Christ, through Christ. Through Christ. You don't have to be a theologian. Just know it's through Christ. You don't have to get an A on your theological exam. It's through Christ. But this book is going to require and demand of us that we come to the grips. And we realize, you know what? I need him. Now I'm going to say something, ushers, guard the doors. Listen, you're going to get upset, you're going to get mad, you're going to get angry. Just don't move because you'll indict yourself. So just listen. What I'm about to say, I don't want you to doubt my sincerity or my love for you. I don't want you to think that I'm thinking evil or somehow, you know, I'm just saying something because I read it or whatever. That's not the case. Let me say this. The greatest thing for your life that you could ever, ever do, say, experience, is that you might come to Jesus Christ by faith alone. Here's the reason why. All of us have troubles and problems. You are a fool, a sweet fool, but a fool nonetheless, to think that Billy Graham does not have any troubles. The Pope's got troubles. Charles Stanley's got troubles. I've got troubles. You've got troubles. And to think for a moment that you can have Jesus and be on your way to heaven and that's wonderful and you're glory bound and that's great. But in your day-to-day living, to take the power that you're trusting in to get you to heaven and not apply it to your day-to-day life, my friend, you're robbing yourself completely. Hear me out. Paul is so going to preach an unadulterated gospel that it's going to make Christians upset. Did you know that? This book will parallel events in the book of Acts, and the Jerusalem Council, including James, is going to come against Paul because Paul preaches a liberating gospel. Think of that before you get too pumped up. The church in Jerusalem, born-again church, was bound in legalism. And they had a big contention with Paul. And guess what happened? Paul won. You want to know why? He didn't learn his stuff from men. He learned it from God. Well, in the next couple years, we'll get through chapter one. You'll figure that part out. He learned it from God. Jesus taught him himself. Amazing. And here's the deal. The problems you're struggling with, here's where you need to sit still. The problems you're struggling with, have you ever taken it to the cross? Have you taken it to the cross? Look, I got problems. And there's times, in fact, it seems like in this last year, if I don't take it to the cross, I'll never make it up here. I don't care if it's physical, mental, emotional. I don't care what it is. And here's the stinking trap of our flesh. Well, that's you, Pastor. But you don't know about my problems. You almost say that like you like them. You almost say that like you're fond of your problems. You almost say that like if God took them out of your life, you wouldn't know what to do with your life. And you're in a trap. You may be saved. You may be wonderfully going to heaven. But you know what? You may be like Lazarus, who was risen from the dead, but still wrapped in his grave cloths. And what good was Lazarus? Well, man, what are you crazy? He was risen from the dead. Lazarus. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And what does the Bible say? He comes hopping out. He's all wrapped in grave cloths. And Jesus, his next words, what was it? What were his words? Somebody loose him. Did he have life? He had life. Do you have life? Yes.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called There's No Other Gospel. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you truly understand that we are saved by faith and not by anything we do. There's No Other Gospel, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that defines the struggles we endure between faith and works and the doctrine of justification, which is promised to every true believer. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, we just recently finished up our Life and Times of Jesus Christ series. Now, you can pick up this series on a USB thumb drive. We'll be glad to send that to you for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Get a hold of us and tell us that you would like the USB thumb drive of the series called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. What a great series. We know for a fact that this series made a big difference in a lot of folks' lives. So if you've got somebody in your life that you think might enjoy the series, get a hold of us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and ask for your copy of the Life and Times of Jesus Christ series on the USB thumb drive for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org for all the info you need. You know, a lot of our Real Radio listeners like to take their walk a little bit deeper. And one of the best ways you can do that is to get the special devotions from Pastor Jack once a week. If you sign up for the devotional newsletter, you can get his devotions sent straight to your email. So it makes it convenient. You don't have to have any reminders or anything like that. Or even better, why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and access the devotions right there. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And then click right there on the Devotions tab. Get the real-life devotions from Pastor Jack and take your walk with God to an even deeper level. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.